great. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Ron is dead.
How you doing, Stegulay?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I'm Leah.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Walled it, well, yeah.
Well, that's why they call me country.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Here we are in the packed streets of London. The gold medal on the line. The race walking title here today. The leader, Valerie Borchin of Russia, moving at a mile a minute, has evidently lost his balance, slowly tumbling down to the ground, and slowly but surely losing control of himself in more ways than one. That looks like it is. That is human excrement. Borchin disqualified for human excrement. Back to Siberia he goes.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
We're the Toucher and Rich radio program on a rainy Marathon Monday. That's what's going on there with the rain and the Marathon Monday.
As gross as you could possibly have for a marathon. I'm looking at the hourly, let's see. So hourly right now, they're saying that it could go anywhere from being light rain, which is up until about 11 o'clock, and then I heard someone describe it as car wash conditions, which is heavy rain and heavy wind, just whipping back and forth, and that starts right around 11 o'clock.
Now, can Mary run in that?
She's running in it, whether she can. I mean, it's like, you know, she went from being a month ago, I'm ready to run, and the only thing that I'm not going to do is run if it rains because I could get sick, to I'm running in this. Like, now it's like she's completely convinced that she's going to do it. So
okay.
It's weird because yesterday, because we kept looking at it thinking, all right, this will change. There's a chance. Because we've known it was going to rain, or at least it looked like it a week ago. I mean, it was
forecast. But it wasn't supposed to, like, pour.
You didn't
right?
really
wasn't
know.
Wasn't it supposed to be like a mist?
It was. There was always a chance of heavy rain. So we kind of were waiting and buying our time and seeing that, okay, maybe this is something we don't have to worry about. So finally Friday, we're like, okay, it's getting closer. So Mary kind of started getting plans for duct taping her shoes and doing all the weird things that runners have to do to stay dry. She got an extra pair of shoes in which I'm going to meet her halfway through the race and give it to her. We might even have like another stop that I'm going to give her like dry shirt. I went all over town yesterday trying to find like a poncho, like a light poncho for her to use. And everyone in the city of Boston, I think, is sold out. And like CVS, Walgreens, any grocery store, anywhere you go, everyone's out of ponchos. And, you know, it's all on me because I didn't think ahead to order one or anything like that. So she's armed with three very sensible trash bags, which she has poked a hole in and will be running in that.
It's going to be like the Matthew Modine movie.
Vision
Quest.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's going to be basically an army of people who look like they're in Vision Quest. In the big cattle pen or whatever they have up in Hopkinton, where everyone goes to go take off. But it is just going to be, I am looking right now at weather.com, and it's heavy rain and wind. It's going to be low 40s. The entire time, although it's going to feel like it's 10 degrees colder, like just at noon, just randomly picking an hour here, it's going to be 43 degrees, feel like 33 degrees with 100% chance of rain and 29 mile per hour wind. So it is just going to be the crappiest. Put it this way. The Red Sox have not canceled or postponed a Patriots Day game since 1984. So this is a big deal. And obviously, we know that the Red Sox like to get you in the gate and spending money before they cancel it. So they, you know, for them to cancel it a day ahead of time, you knew it was going to be bad. So God bless the people running today, because it is going to be miserable.
Well, the main thing is that I can't go to the game today and do my annual Blackout Fest.
You still drink?
Sure.
You,
right.
Just because
no,
there's no game?
I'm not doing it.
The bars are still open.
No, I'm taking this as a... Maybe you should take the day off, son.
This is nature's way of giving you a warning.
Yeah, because now this is just a Monday.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a catch-up day.
Yeah, this is just a Monday at this point.
Well, that's the thing, is that, you know, everyone's still off. And so, you know, I'm wondering what the bars on Boylston are going to look like, you know, like over at Fenway Park, whether people are still going to go to the Cask and Flagon and drink all day like they used to. I mean, it kind of sucks that you might get robbed of that, but I got to think there's still going to be lines at the door, people trying to get in.
Definitely on the parade route, or the parade route, right? Definitely on the
Cleveland Circle and
like
everything.
The running route,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I don't know about Fenway, but definitely on the running route. Like, I mean, because what's the point of going to Fenway today?
Well, I guess you're close to Kenmore. I guess that would be
Cask is close
way.
Enough where you can, you know, go and then walk down that hill and see the runners go by.
Yeah, I guess.
If you really want to.
I mean, technically everything is, you know, somewhat close.
Well, I was talking to Tracy, who's filling in for Mike today, and she said that, and actually you said the same thing, John, is that coming in this morning, you know, traffic was pretty nuts because it's the race for everyone to get down to Boston Common and try to get those parking spots in the parking deck there, because everyone goes down there and then the buses pick them up. The big wet cattle. I mean, it's going to just be a mess. What a scene when people get on those buses and then they take them to Hopkinton, mm-hmm. and then you just stand there and wait and get rained on. And so, I mean, I don't know. I've never. This is just something that we didn't even think about. Is it possibly raining? So
right.
We're doing all these Google searches trying to figure out, how do you put the duct tape on your shoes? Do you get like a backup pair of socks? Like if all of this goes down, is there a second pair of shoes that we need? Or we already have a second pair. Well, so you need a third pair of shoes. Do you put bags over your feet while you're waiting? I mean, it's just going to be a scene and a mess.
Well, you have almost as difficult a day as your wife trying to navigate how to get to place to place.
I didn't think it was going to be that bad until my wife bought my kids a cowbell. Like a cowbell.
Oh.
Gang, 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 gang. Is there any
to, like,
more?
To tell her?
No. Everyone has cowbells, like,
yes.
By the finish line. And it's like, who?
Near my portion of the course as well.
Yeah, whose idea was this?
Yeah.
Let's find the most obnoxious sound and give it to kids. So my kids have these two called gang, 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 gang. So they're going to be all over. We're running right now, as of right now, after the show. I'm going home. I'm picking up my kids. We're going to, like, around Natick to give her first thing of clothes, dry clothes. And then, if it's that bad, we're going to find another spot, maybe near Heartbreak Hill, to give her another set, and then we're going to meet her at the finish line. So, and meanwhile, it's just finding places to park, it's running around with the kids.
Yeah, Heartbreak Hill is going to be really difficult.
Well, we know of a spot that isn't exactly at Heartbreak Hill that there's an easy in-and-out access.
Okay.
Trust me, this has been like Mission Impossible the last few days, trying to plot all this out.
Yeah, that's it, because Heartbreak Hill's by my house, and... You got to show up on the, you can go either side, but they don't let you cross no more. They used to let you cross on foot.
Oh, yeah.
But I take it that doesn't happen anymore.
They don't mess around anymore. No, they do not.
No, not even out there. All right. Well, it was a good weekend to be a Boston sports fan. You got a dominant performance from the Bruins. You got a performance from Al Horford yesterday that was impressive. Terry Rozier.
One of the more exciting endings of a game in
absolutely.
A long time. That was great.
You got a guy who tied it with almost a half-court shot with half a second left. So, and then the Red Sox do whatever the hell they did in the rain. But nonetheless, there was a
lot. Sale's a big fan of the weather.
It was a very nice weekend. And as the Bruins continue this evening in Toronto, Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, Jeff, what's up, man?
I don't think he's potted up.
Hey, Tracy, could you pot him up there? He's gone. He's gone now. He's calling about the Bruins.
We missed out on Jeff. We missed out on Jeff.
We did. And you know what? I just, as I was watching that game, I just kept thinking to myself, pasta.
Pasta. That's not going away anytime soon.
No, I mean, he has been unbelievable. I mean, what is that line? Austin Matthews afterwards, I'll try to see if I can find the clip. That so the first line of the Bruins obviously has just put up ridiculous numbers. I think they're like a plus 20 or something crazy
they
like that.
They can do whatever they want.
They can do whatever they want. So they've scored. I think it's they've scored 20 points. That's what it is against Austin Matthews' line. They asked Austin Matthews about that, and he said, "Well, blank happens, I guess." Like if that's your attitude, like that's your, like your leader, that's your guy, and you're Toronto Maple Leafs, and your attitude is, "Well, crap happens, I guess." Then they're just, they've tapped out mentally.
You would think so. Everyone's made a huge deal if you give Babcock last change and how he's a genius with setting up matchups, but I don't know if that's going to work. It will be interesting to see tonight because we've talked to people in Toronto, we've talked to experts, and they said home ice means everything in this series, but you would at least think the goaltending situation is demoralized.
Yeah, for all the success Anderson has had against the Bruins in his career, he looks shell-shocked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he looked terrible. Yeah.
I honestly, I think that last goal by Krejci, where he banked it in off his pad, I think that wrecked him because he didn't look ready. He didn't look ready at all in Game 2. I mean, Toronto didn't play any defense, but still, he didn't look ready. The whole Toronto team didn't look ready in Game 2. I find that shocking.
You know what they looked? Soft.
Yeah,
like a game two was like game one. I didn't really notice it as much, but game two, when you watch that, like they were soft. There were guys afraid to go in the corners. It was just
goes beyond losing Nazem Kadri. I mean, they were atrocious.
And well, Kadri's the one of the two physical guys on that team. However, we were talking about this, and it's a kind of a good thing about a long series is that I was giving the example of you run against a team in football and you can soften them up, and maybe by the halfway through the third quarter that they're, a little tired and a little wary. And the Bruins have been playing heavy enough that I think it's having an effect on Toronto. I definitely do. I mean, they've been by far the more physical team. And under control, they haven't had to stretch anything to get there. All right, 617-779-0985. Certainly things. Oh, and I'm doing the show without a shirt on at 7 o'clock.
That's right.
Oh, that's Tracy, right. I apologize if you would like to put a blindfold on. But that's right. As the payment for the Wallach-Tatum bet, I will be going doing the show shirtless. So, ladies, if you could, find something to sit on because I don't want you to ruin the upholstery of your car or your bed. But first, here's the CBS Sports Minute brought to you by Carrier. Boomer reveals his takeaways from the Pacers game. One victory over the Cavaliers.
Hey, baby. It's playoff season. Game 2 of the Celtics and Bucks is tomorrow.
Oh, Tatum catches with one hand.
Game coverage starts at 7:30. Live from the TD Garden.
For the game. Get it.
Grandy and Cedric Maxwell bring you the call of the game starting at 8.
Al Horford would not be denied.
This is the home of your Boston Celtics and every playoff game.
A lot for Horford with a two-hand slam.
98.5, the Sports Hub. It's T&R. T&R on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Kutcher and Rich.
Okay, keep doing it.
Recapping what you missed with Kutcher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, a fantastic weekend for Boston sports fans.
It was. The Celtics tamed the Greek Freak in game one.
Rozier gets the free throw. It's just a matter of the final margin now. Brogdon will take a three. It is no good. And the Celtics win game one twice. The final score, Boston 113, Milwaukee 107.
Fun game one around one of Bucks Celtics gave us one of the more exciting game endings of the year as Boston wins in overtime 113-107. Third string point guard Terry Rozier.
Ball in safe for the Rozier. Clock rolling. 9 seconds to go in game one. Rozier out of the right side. Now the motion starts away from the ball. Rozier switches to the right hand. Steps back. Good look at a three.
No!
Got it! Terry Rozier giveth. And then Terry Rozier, they just have taken game one away from the Milwaukee Bucks.
Somebody got some on the bottom of his shoes, and it smells like stink.
Five tenths of a second on the clock.
I don't know.
right, I can't.
All right, no, that makes no sense.
I don't know. He's got something on the bottom of his shoes, and it smells like stink stink.
Someone what?
Somebody's got something on the bottom of his shoes, and it smells like stink stink.
Okay.
Now, it's
that sounds like something that someone in an old folks' home would say when you're visiting grandpa and things have kind of taken a turn for the worse.
I got stink stink. That usually means that, you know, they did something in their drawers.
I've been fortunate to sit next to Max and hear a lot of stuff I don't know.
That might not even be the strangest thing he said.
Well, I'll tell you this, as I watched the game yesterday, and
he got beat so bad, it just stopped.
No, that's not being beat.
That's not, like, Rozier, God bless him, he had a great game. Horford had a great game.
Yeah, well, as Fred mentioned, Al Horford was everywhere. He notches a double-double with a team-high 24 points, 12 rebounds, and with 19 points and 10 rebounds, Jason Tatum becomes the third Celtics rookie in franchise history to record a double-double in his first ever playoff game. He joins Tommy Heinsohn and Bill Russell, who both pulled that off in 1957. Here is Jason Tatum on what Brad Stevens said to the team to get them ready before overtime.
I mean, Brad does a great job. As well as our coaching staff and everybody. We could have easily, you know, just been deflated at the end of regulation. But, you know, we all stuck together and we came back out there and we executed and played really well in overtime.
So if he would have scored one more point, am I not mistaken in that you would have had five players on the team that scored 20 points or more?
Correct.
That's insane, and they're going to have to do that. And that's the one thing is that, don't you think that game one is indicative of what this series is going to be?
Well, I think you got a good look, because my biggest question is, during crunch time, because you have a bunch of guys out there that don't necessarily have experience doing this, who's the ball going to go through? And we found out yesterday it went through Al Horford.
Yep.
They posted him up, and even if Horford didn't get a shot or a look at the basket, he got fouled and made all his foul shots, or he found the open man. And so that's the question that was answered. Marcus Morris can get his shot at times, but when it came right down to it, they got the ball to Horford.
Well, I mean, Morris was pretty clutch in that game as well. And if they can get bench players like that going, then this could be a series.
I mean,
if
Terry Rozier wasn't scared, neither was Tatum. A lot of good signs. Now, the question is, what we saw yesterday, are we going to see that again? Is it going to be a titanic struggle all the way through the series? I saw Scal during the post game on NBC Sports Boston, and he seems to think that game two is going to be easier than game one, because he doesn't think Middleton can shoot as well as he did. I mean, Middleton made everything, including that three-quarter court shot. He made a lot of clutch shots with hands in his face. I don't know if he can duplicate that throughout the series. Well, Giannis is always going to get his points. Maybe you slow him down, but he's going to get 30 or 35 a game in this series. Can you stop all the other guys?
Well, then there's Brad Stevens, king of the dad jokes, who was asked about the team's rocky second quarter, where the team continuously turned the ball over and over and over and gave up. Larkin was just awful in the first quarter.
Second quarter especially, really bad.
And they were giving up easy shots, so they asked Brad Stevens about that.
That was part of our plan, to kind of lull them into a false sense of security. Never attack the paint, just throw it to the other team and let them score whenever they want. We thought maybe that would wear them out. Turns out it didn't look like a good plan, so we had to readjust, make those hard halftime adjustments, throw it to our team, and try to do what we did in the first quarter.
I don't know if that's him trying to be Greg Popovich or him just, like, failing at dad jokes. Well, you know, we thought we would lull them into a false sense of security.
Oh, he's having
with his eyes. Like,
just play off Brad Stevens. He's having some fun.
Well, the other good news is that Marcus Smart was seen throwing up some shots before the game. He told the press that he is still on schedule to return in round two, or if the series goes seven or six games by the end of it. So, as John said, and Scal believes, game two is the easier one. That's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, and you can hear it right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, the Bruins played Saturday night in dominant fashion. They'll play again tonight, and you can hear that on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We'll discuss some of that. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, the NHL playoffs, the Bruins go to the Air Canada Center tonight.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I thought Toronto played well but had some bad luck in game one, not the case in game two.
No, in game two it was absolute and complete domination.
Back of the net, it's centered. Pastrnak backhand. He scores! That's the hit!
hat trick. 6 points for David Pastrnak. Oh, he dangled with the puck. Drew McElhinney down and shovel it by him at the far post. He's got 6 points tonight, and the Bruins with a 7-3 lead in game two.
It wasn't just the goals, it was how they were scored. That one between his legs was just ridiculous.
Well, that first line can do whatever they want.
Yeah, it seems like they're playing pond hockey, you're right.
No, yeah, there's nothing, at least to this point, I don't want to jinx it, but there's nothing Toronto can do to remotely slow that line down. Yeah, you're when you say pond hockey, you're right. They're able. I haven't seen a team move the puck like that on a consistent basis. Maybe since I've been watching hockey.
So, Fred, they don't have the guy. Toronto does not have the defenseman who can body these guys up enough to intimidate them. But looking down the road, it's got to be the way that you are going to have to attack that line. I mean, it's going to have to be with just pure physicality. But right now, Toronto doesn't have any of that. So they're able to just completely skate circles around them, do what they want to do, and it doesn't look like it's going to stop anytime
soon. If you get physical with them, I don't even know if you can. Like, they're... What are you going to do? I mean, they're not. It's not like you can just like seek them out and go and nail them. They're moving at such a pace that it would be difficult.
Well, Austin Matthews was asked about that. I mentioned this earlier about the top line outscoring his line 20-0 in the first two games of the series. And here's the response.
In your wildest imagination, would you have figured you'd be sitting here after two games, not necessarily down two, but the line you're playing against has 20 points and you have 0?
Happens, I guess. So hockey, got a rebound for game three.
By the way, the Leafs played 82 regular season games and didn't lose by 4 goals once. They now played 2 playoff games and lost by 4 goals in each of them.
You guys mentioned the first line, of course, everything you said is warranted, but it's what Rich said first is right. It's where they're scoring goals from. I mean, they're getting rebounds right in front of the net.
Yeah, it's not.
I mean, Rick Nash, it's not just the first line. It's everybody. Everybody is parked right out in front of the goaltender. They're not getting moved out of there at all. I mean, there's a reason why you're stuffing home rebounds, because they're not encountering any resistance over there. I mean, if I'm a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, that's more demoralizing than a lot of things.
Well, they have two guys that are... Toronto has two guys that are able to do that, and one suspended. So they got nothing. I would expect tonight, hope tonight, that the Bruins continue this. I don't really see what Toronto can do to match up. But
you saw Matthews get a couple of chances in game two that he didn't have. He had nothing in game one.
Well, he'll get
one
chances,
of those chances was shorthanded and he hit the goalpost. But I mean, you saw Matthews get free twice, where he didn't get free at all in game one.
He'll get more chances tonight because they have last change. So the Bruins won't get that matchup that they always want. They won't get the Bergeron line out there, which is what they've been trying to do, but I don't even know if that matters. And when you have guys like McQuaid playing at an exceptional level, things are going pretty well. McQuaid, who wouldn't be playing if Carlo was healthy.
Correct.
I mean, McQuaid arguably has been their best defenseman. So everything's going right for them right now.
As great as things are going for the Boston Bruins, can we just take a moment to enjoy what has been happening to the Washington Capitals? Just real quick. I mean, it's gotten to the point, like, if you're a fan of the Capitals,
every single
year, you just expect awful things to happen.
Doesn't matter what you do in the regular season, and they always do well in the regular season. They have the best goal scorer on the planet, and they can do nothing in the playoffs.
Game one, they blow a 2-goal lead and lose in overtime, and in game two, guess what?
Side just plays it in deep. Anderson up the left wing side just plays it in deep. Behind the net, Orpik goes after it. Calvert hits him. Backhander off the far wall. Here's Werenski with a puck to the middle. He shoots a save, his mate. Rebound! Score! And I got two words for you! Game over! Matt Calvert down low! Finishes it off! And the Blue Jackets are now up! 2-0! And they're headed home!
The Capitals blow 2 2-goal leads, and they lose in overtime twice. God bless them. It's just, you know what, the universe, there's certain certainties, and this is one of them, is that they are going to choke in some dramatic fashion in the NHL playoffs. So congratulations to Ovechkin. You are never going to touch a Stanley Cup, it looks like. I don't even know, like, what's... Like, how do you... what do you do? What do you,
they're just snake bit.
They are.
I don't think that there's anything that they can do.
Different coaches, too.
Yeah, right.
I mean, Boudreaux, Adam Oates was there for a while. They still lost in the first round, and now it's Barry Trotz. I mean, 55 wins, 56 wins, 54 wins, 50 wins. I mean, all of those teams lost in the first or second round.
Yeah. I mean, they just can't perform. They can't perform in the playoffs, and I don't think it's going to get any better. It's all weighing on them. They're probably all aware of what's been going on.
Sure. 49 wins this year. I mean, it's unbelievable how this happens to them every season.
Yeah, they're a great regular season team, and then they absolutely choke it away in the playoffs. And you can't blame it on one particular person.
Nope. Let's hope they're the Raptors are the same way, because that seems to be the case as well. But maybe the Raptors will be the NBA's version of the Washington Capitals.
I mean, can you, with Drake... Can we get just Drake?
Like, yeah, why? You didn't like that Humboldt uniform he had on?
No, that's nice.
That's fine.
That's fine. But he, why does it, why can Spike Lee and Drake just be part of the game?
Just walk onto the court.
They walk onto the court. They talk to the bench.
Yeah.
They walk around like idiots. Like, why can they do that and no one else can do that?
Nicholson can do it. He used to do it back in the day.
He used to walk on the court.
No, he never walked
on
the court.
Well, Spike's the worst defender of all of them. Like, I've seen him almost
Nicholson would stay in his seat. He'd make gestures and stuff, but he'd always
Nicholson
stay there.
Courtside?
Yeah. He used to be. Not anymore.
I think he's like sick. Yeah, I think last like 2 years.
Yeah, like, all right. So, like, he would stand up. And also the cameras. Nicholson's a superstar, and the camera would be on him. I mean, Drake just has free reign to do whatever the hell he wants. It's insufferable. You just want Toronto to get killed. He goes to the bench and talks to them.
Oh, speaking of benches,
I think he's a part owner.
Who's the guy who won the...
Minority owner, yeah, obviously.
Who's the guy who won the Masters? What's his name again?
Patrick Reed.
Did you see Patrick Reed last night wore his Masters jacket to the Rockets game?
Again?
And I got to give credit, NBC Sports tweeted out a picture of him, and it just said, okay, we get it. What are you doing? A week later, you're still wearing your Masters jacket?
He's a schlub. Seriously.
Okay, we understand you won the Masters. Yeah, it's been a week.
Yeah, he's just a dumb schlub. Pat, go ahead.
Hey, guys, hey.
Hey, what's up?
I hope your wife does well today in the marathon, Rich.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
God love her, man. Everything you guys have been through, everything she's rebounded from, man, I wish her the best.
Thanks.
But, listen, with the Bees, they're tougher. I mean, it starts with the hitting and wearing them down. And, I mean, they're just, they're mixed right. They have the right amount of vets with the right amount of young guys, and they're just, their chemistry is incredible. We've seen it all year. All four lines are rolling. They're a tough team to play against, and I've said it since halfway through the season. I've seen it.
Well, that's the great thing about a seven-game series is that I do like that, is that you can wear another team down. And for every hit you make, that's another... as the series goes on, those take effect.
Yeah,
they can take effect and they can get people off their games. All right, Rich, what else?
We will get to the best Red Sox team ever, at least in the start they've had. And on top of that, it is never drama-free when it comes to the offseason for the Patriots. Did you hear the Amendola stuff that came out?
Yep.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about Gronk, because this story is not going away anytime soon.
It is not. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow us on Twitter at 98.5 The Sports Hub.
A little extra effort could earn you a star.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, in the cold and rain, the Red Sox extend their best start in their 118-year history.
Here's the 1-2. Roped out of right field line and a fair ball. That'll bounce up into the stands. Another run is in. And the Red Sox add another on the bat of the red-hot Zunwei Lin, who is crushing it.
Well, 3-1, the final score over the Orioles, and a record of 13-2. That's officially the best starting record ever by the Red Sox. They are only the sixth team in American League history to start that strong And a lot of that has to do with the pitching. Chris Sale, despite the cruddy weather, was very good. Five innings, two hits, one earned run, eight strikeouts on the day. He's no Bartolo Colon, however, who was flirting
big sexy
himself
was on last
a little
night.
Bit of a no-no, I think, in the seventh.
Perfect game.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was a perfect game.
Colon is everything that's right about baseball.
Yeah, everything that's right about life, you know?
Just it's old and fat.
Big fat guy at 45.
Yeah.
Screw it, I can pitch. It's just knowing that good things can happen to people who just obviously visually have given up on life.
Yeah.
Then it just is inspiring to all of us.
I mean, now there's every golfer is, you know, doing workout plans and is all cut up. And then there's Cologne that just says, hey, what do you want out of me?
You can hear him huffing from a mile away. Well, Boston's pitching has been outstanding, however, allowing three runs or fewer in the 12 out of 15 games, which is the most in the majors. Here is Chris Sale afterwards.
My last changeup was in the first inning, so as unimpressive as it might have been, I'm just trying to throw strikes. I didn't care how hard it was going or what pitch it was. I wanted to get it over the plate because I knew how hard it was to hit today.
I think he was saying later on that, like, it was cold and his hand was so numb that he, like, at one point was like, if someone asked him about, like, an 87-mile-per-hour ball he pitched, he goes, that was my fastball.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't anything. That was literally as fast as I could get it at times.
If you're David Price in your hand, you can't feel your hand, you sit down.
Can you imagine hitting in that weather with a wood bat?
No. Yeah.
No. Just the amount of pain and it going up against Chris Sale, regardless of how fast his fastball is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just torture.
Yeah, that would not be a fun game to be at, perform in. I just, all around, it looked like misery.
Perfect time for a homestand.
Yeah, well, Mother Nature is apparently not done kicking everyone in the balls today because for the first time since 84, no Red Sox game on Patriots Day. The Sox announced that yesterday because there were miserable conditions on the radar, and the game is going to be postponed for Thursday, May 17th at 7:10 p.m.
Oh, God.
What? What's going on that day?
No, but just like you can't have it during the day.
It's a Thursday night game. This is Thursday.
But you have an 11 a.m. game and it's special.
I know.
And then you reschedule to 7 o'clock.
Should be Thursday at whatever. I understand.
Yeah, so make it Thursday at 1.
Let's take a look at the schedule. Maybe they're coming in from out of town that weekend. I don't know.
Either way, that does suck. I mean, because, you know, that's why you get those games. You want to be able to have the businessman special.
No, it's an extra home game. It's right in the middle of a homestand.
So they could do it.
Yeah. It's during an off day in a homestand. They have Oakland the day before and Baltimore the day after.
So it's
another Baltimore series. You just tack it on. It's a four-game series instead of three.
Unfortunately, to the bars around Boston, I won't be blacked out drunk tonight.
Well, but I think most of the bars are still open, so there you go.
No, I can't justify it.
Do you think, where are we broadcasting from? Where's the station broadcasting from for Marathon Monday? Are they at Fenway?
I think they're not at Fenway.
Well, what I mean is that are they in the area?
They're in the area. We promoted it enough last week. Baseball Tavern.
Okay, Baseball Tavern. Well, now Bill Belichick's seemingly innocuous comment on Friday has a bit more meaning now.
We have a voluntary off-season program that starts on Monday. It'll be heavily attended. But I know there are a couple players that I've talked to that have other commitments. But that's the way it always is, too, so. Not really anything new there.
All right, so regarding that, we were aware of the report that Tom Brady might miss the first day of Patriots offseason program, which starts today due to a previously scheduled trip he made to Qatar to raise money for his charity Best Buddies. But then came the report this weekend from Adam Schefter that another Patriot would not be attending, and that player is not doing it because of any charity. Rob Gronkowski, he ain't going to be there today. According to Schefter, he added that Gronkowski is still considering whether or not to play the upcoming 2018 season, but has had, quote, good communication with the Patriots. So Jeff Howe wrote something for The Athletic where he kind of goes into a little more detail and said that this is indeed because Gronk wants more money. There's no mixed messages here. Speaking of money, it looks like he's taking a little bit of a gamble on this holdout because if he misses two more days of these not mandatory practices, he's going to forfeit a $250,000 workout bonus in his contract for 2018.
But so much for being not mandatory.
Yeah,
you take a $250,000 bonus.
That is weird. It's not mandatory, yet these teams put these bonuses in so many people's contracts that make sure that, okay, we do indeed want you there. And I know that we always give these guys like a ton of credit when they show up and they show up early and they're the first ones there. So don't you kind of got to look at this and go, all right, well, maybe there's something to this. And I know that,
yes.
But, of course there is. And by the way, anyone who is poo-pooing all of the Gronkowski stuff that's been happening over the last few years, here's your first substantial evidence that he's holding out.
Yes. He's holding. He's not going. There's no debate.
And by the way, this has become, I was thinking about this last night. We're going to play the Amendola stuff a little bit later on, but he was about as critical as I've heard anyone be of Bill Belichick. I mean, he called him an a-hole, but he also was criticizing the whole Malcolm Butler thing. So let's think about the players who have done some sort of stance against Belichick or have rebelled against him in some sort of way here in the offseason. There was first Dante Hightower by liking that Brandon Browner Instagram post about his decision to bench Malcolm Butler. So there's one. There's the end of Tom versus Time with Tom Brady, how he wants to feel appreciated. Mm-hmm. So you can throw that in there. And
plus
of course,
Brady responding to, was it the Amendola thing? He responded to something.
Oh, I know what you mean. There's also, I mean,
Butler. He did the Butler thing.
That's right. But you also had everything that's been going on with Guerrero, which we know is true behind the scenes. Then you had Julian Edelman, even over the past weekend, showed that he was working out with Alex Guerrero, which is kind of a middle finger over there. On top of that, you have now Danny Amendola, Rob Gronkowski with his Instagram post, Nate Solder. And I was thinking about, like, amongst the captains of this team, the only guy who has not said anything really truly against, who's been a company man, has been, what's his name with the twin brother?
McCourty.
Devin McCourty.
Yeah.
He's been a company man, but
Slater.
Everyone else, think about it.
I'm a captain.
I guess he's a captain,
right.
Sure.
That's right.
Yeah.
Nothing from Matthew Slater.
But I just counted six people on the team who have, in some sort of way, been vocally opposed to Bill Belichick here in the offseason.
It is amazing to me that the players think that Belichick's going to change. And I know we're going to get to the Amendola stuff, and he admits, you know, Belichick's always this way, isn't going to change. It just seems like everyone's angry this time, and where they haven't been before, more publicly angry.
Well, we've talked about and it pisses everyone off, so here you go, get pissed, is that Belichick has coached for a long time, and it's a new generation of players.
Sure.
And if you don't tweak your coaching style, it's not going to be as effective anymore.
There's no indication that that's going to happen.
No, there's not. It's going to bite them in the ass.
How about it's as simple as players had to pick a side. Are you team Tom Brady or are you team Bill Belichick? And it looks like all of these guys are on team Tom Brady.
For the first time publicly.
Yep.
It might have been this way privately all along, but this is the first time this offseason that publicly